All right, looks like we're back on reopening the administrative appeal hearing. I think we had the appellant was calling their next witness.
Yeah, David Lynam.
Mm-hmm. Can you state your name for the record?
David Lynam.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Lynam. You were tasked with reviewing permit committees under 1025, is that correct?
I'm sorry?
You were tasked with reviewing permit applications under 1025, Kitsap County Code 1025?
I was tasked with reviewing your applications.
So you haven't looked at, have you reviewed any other applications under 1025?
No, just yours.
So you did not review the Paulsville Sportsman's Club application?
I did not.
So do you know how many applications for a range operating permit have been applied for in Kitsap County?
Three.
And those three are?
The Paulsville Gun Club and your two.
And our two. Okay. So how many have been granted and approved?
One.
And that one is?
Paulsbo.
Did you not find it, since Paulsbo Sportsman's Club's application was processed under the same code, do you not look at other applications and being approved ahead of time to determine what was, how the county applied certain language within the code to other applicants?
No.
So Paulsbo's application and what they did or didn't do, as far as you're concerned, had no bearing on how it might apply to another applicant?
Other than to certify that it was a complete application, but beyond that, no.
Okay, so I'm sorry, so did you look at Paulsbo's application to see if it was complete?
No.
Okay, so you didn't look at Paulsbo Sportsman's Club's application at all?
Yes, I have looked at its application, but I did not consider it in reviewing this application. Okay.
With your, so who did process Paulsbo Sportsman's Club's application?
It's my understanding Larry Keaton did.
Okay, and Larry Keaton is no longer with the department, is that correct?
That's correct.
Do you know if other county staff had any dealings with the Paulsbo Sportsman's Club application?
I don't know.
So you don't know if Jeff Rowe had any dealings with the application?
I don't know.
Couple of questions, sir. Did you have any assistance in reviewing our application, or did you do it all yourself?
I discussed in the original application which application are we referring to?
Well, either, but specifically the second one.
Jeffrey Rowe.
And approximately how many hours did you spend doing that review?
Of the second application?
Correct.
Probably 50.
Thank you.
Have Mr. Lynam, have you had any other dealings with shooting ranges, personally or otherwise?
Other than using them, no.
Have you ever used Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
When was that, do you recall?
Probably last, about 1995.
95. In utilizing Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club in 1995, did you alert the club or any official at that time as to any inability to contain projectiles at that facility?
No.
Back about that time frame, were you still the fire marshal at that point? Were you or involved with DCD in the county at all?
Which county?
This one.
No.
Kitsap County.
No.
Have you, other than Kitsap Rifle Revolver Club, have you evaluated any other ranges?
No.
Mr. Lynam, have you been involved with other litigation against Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club?
Yes.
What is the nature of that involvement?
Principally by providing statements and declarations.
Was that in an effort to provide the county with information, county attorneys, et cetera?
The declarations I made were in conjunction with the lawsuits.
And the declarations that you filed in with those lawsuits, is there anything you'd go back today and change that you'd said in those declarations?
I don't recall.
With the you'd mentioned earlier that you I'd like to know whether this was involving just you or also Mr. Rowe that made the determination that in the county's thinking there was over, I think you used it, 300 days to apply for the information that was to respond to the information request that you had.
I don't understand your question.
Earlier in your statement, I believe you used 300 days as a number, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong, to explain why Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club was not granted this 90-day extension that we requested. Is that correct, that you feel that we had over 300 days to respond to a list that you sent to the club? On 10/17 of 16.
No, I believe my previous testimony was that it had been more than 300 days since you'd applied for the first application in 2016 until the expiration date of the second application, which would have expired in 2017.
Okay. Permit number 1604424. Was applied for on September 29th, or shortly there before.
On or before, yes.
And was that, with that application, was it assigned it was a separate application from the first one, is that correct?
Yes.
So it was assigned a new number?
Yes.
And it was to, in essence, to be treated as a new application?
Yes.
When you sent your summary request of 10/17, was it different in any way, shape, or form from your summary request that you had sent concerning permit number, I'll just use the last digits, 041?
Was it different? I'm sure it was.
When Ms. Butterton sent you a copy of the request for an extension of time to begin with, you were kind enough, actually, I think they crossed paths. You were kind enough to explain that the 90-day window was expiring, and you laid out two options for the club. One was to complete all the material and provide all the material, and the other was to apply for an extension of time, and that those two things would prevent it from expiring. Is that correct?
That's not correct.
So, in your thinking, as you're the one who authored the email that Mrs. Butterton referred to from, I believe it's exhibit number 8. And then in your response to request for clarification, to keep the permit application from expiring, requesting an extension of time was not one of the solutions you offered to keep that from happening?
I don't understand the question. It's a double negative for me. Was it not?
Forgive me for that one. The
if you, I may, please. Let me try to answer it and see if we can get past that. I told Mrs. Butterton, and I'm sorry, I hope it's Mrs. instead of Ms., but I told Mrs. Butterton that she needed to apply for an application. She needed to apply for an extension. I did not guarantee or mention whether or not that would be approved. But in order to reserve her rights to do that, she had to do it prior to the 15th.
At any point when did you not, in both for permit 041 and permit 424, in both of those review summaries, did you inform the club emphatically that partial submissions of the requested information would not be accepted?
I don't recall.
Mr. Lynam, I do believe that's from the first review summary. I think the county listed as exhibit number 3.
Okay.
Does that look familiar, what I handed
yes,
you?
Yes, it does.
And I would proffer that that is a correct and accurate copy.
Okay.
Very last page. I think it was the very last couple of sentences, if you would, for the hearing examiner.
The last two sentences say Kitsap County DCD only accepts information subject to this request in its entirety. Once all of the required items are compiled, submit them as one complete package, as piecemeal items will not be accepted.
Does that refresh your memory as to what was written?
Yes.
Do you believe that that also was the same basic language you used in the application summary for the second application 424?
I don't recall.
At any point, Mr. Lynam, while we're looking up some other documentation, as when Ms. Butterton sent you the letter requesting an extension of time, did you inquire at all as to how much material had been gathered or how much work had been done or anything of that nature to determine whether or not the club had, in fact, sufficient time to gather all the information you requested?
No.
Isn't it DCD's policy, and I believe it's also in Kitsap County Code, that the building department, the goal is to help, I think they're referred to as customers or clients, to help them through the process and try to help them assemble what they need or what they don't need. Is that correct?
Could you restate your question, please?
That the Department of Community Development's policy, I believe it's on their homepage mission statement, and I believe it's within Kitsap County Code, although I don't have the numbers right in front of me, that DCD is one of DCD's goals or their policy is to work with clients to get them through the application process. Is that correct?
Are you asking me whether or not it's our policy to work with applicants? If that's the case, the answer is yes.
And I believe what has been listed as item exhibit 6, which is, I think, listed as application summary. This is actually taken from one of your declarations. But the highlighted portion there, a moment ago you said that you didn't remember whether or not you told the club with the second review that that the information would not be accepted piecemeal and in fact needed to be put together as a complete compilation.
I said that, yes.
And that's what was said in the second one as well.
And this is a correct copy of the second one?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay. Yes, that's what it says right there, the last two sentences.
So we've established that you never inquired of Ms. Butterton. Was Ms. Butterton, has she been responsive when you sent an email to her? Has she been responsive to any requests that you've made of her?
Yes, she has.
And you never informed her or asked or inquired as to how far along in the process we are or as to how much information had been gathered and was ready to submit, whether it was piecemeal or otherwise?
No, I did not.
Okay. A moment ago, I believe you said that you informed Ms. Butterton that there would be a possible extension if it was requested.
I don't believe I said that.
I'm looking at the email. Probably. I understand. Let me. I'm just trying to cross-reference it with the county's list. Probably under Exhibit 8. We can either pull it from your exhibit or, again, I will offer that this is a department of it. But that's a true and correct copy of the email communication between you and Ms. Butterton. What language did you use for Ms. Butterton in explaining that the permit was about to expire?
I always communicated in the English language with Mrs. Butterton.
I appreciate that.
Is there a piece of this you would like me to read into?
Yeah, I just right above the, I think it was the last sentence or two right above the post that I put there for you.
The last two sentences read, therefore, the 90-day response period expires January 15th, 2017. If you intend to apply for an extension of your expiration date, you must do so prior to January 15th, 2017. Otherwise, your permit application will expire.
So if she doesn't ask for an extension of time, the permit would expire.
Right. That's in county code that it automatically expires.
Right. Unless a timely, yeah, but the term you have there is otherwise. You in essence communicated to Ms. Butterton that this is a route to keep that permit application from expiring.
Yeah, but neither does this document lead her to believe that it's going to be or assure that any extension request will be granted.
You know, I think as far as what Ms. Butterton believes or not is probably a little above both of our pay grades. The and in fact, we may recall Ms. Butterton on that. I do think she speaks for several committee members. Okay. That aspect of the, on both of your requests for additional information, where it would not be accepted piecemeal, that it had to be put together in its entirety. Do you have an authorization for that in county code?
No, that's department policy.
And where is that policy published?
I don't know.
So it may not even be a published policy, or is it published policy? Or
I don't know.
Then how are you aware of it?
It was a policy that we established probably about 2012 or 2013 in order to review permits in a timely manner.
But you have no idea whether, I mean, I'm just trying to get a flavor for this because you don't know if it's written or whatever. Was it just people gathered around a table and just decided this is our policy?
I don't recall.
Was county policy supposed to be written down somewhere as a handbook, as you will, a standard operating procedure?
I don't recall.
To the best of your understanding, are the procedures of the department required to be published?
I don't recall.
Even in a general sense?
I don't recall.
Believe, Mr. Lynham, if it might be easier if you use the county exhibit, and I think we're looking at the your application summary, which should be exhibit number 6, if that could be provided to Mr. Lynham.
Okay, I'm there.
Forget, we're actually going to deal with the one that this hearing is about, which is on the second application, and so that would be listed as, I guess, item 6. Is that where I sent you?
Yes.
Okay. And that's where. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'd like to look at a couple of the issues, well, more than a couple of the issues in the review and summary, review summary and information request. And let's start on page 1, please. Let's see. Page 1, item 1. Can you read the second sentence, please?
The application seeks approval for discharging any legal firearm and contains no limitation on firearm type or caliber.
And then the next sentence, please?
Currently, comma, KRRC is prohibited from discharging rifles greater than 30 caliber pursuant to Pierce County Superior Court's ruling in Kitsap County versus Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club, cause number 10-12-913-3, and the Court of Appeals ruling in Kitsap County versus Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club, 184 Washington App 252,337, P.3D 324-2014.
Sorry about that difficulty. So why did you include that in the review?
Because that is the requirement by which your caliber and firearms you can fire is less than, has to be less than 30 caliber.
Is,
or 30 caliber less, I'm sorry.
Is DCD authorized to enforce court orders?
Yes.
And where would I find that?
I don't know.
And to the best of your understanding, do not court orders change over time as courts make additional rulings?
I don't know.
Put this a different way. If we had already possessed a approved application and a new court order came into place, would we have to file a new application reflecting that?
Not necessarily. What does the order pertain to?
Let's assume it pertains to the exact issue we have at hand here, caliber restriction.
You'll have to be more.
If we already had an application, let's say we already had an application.
Yes.
And a court issued an injunction that limited us to 25 caliber. Would we need to file for a modification or a new application to reflect that?
The permit would have to be amended, yes.
The portion you just read, you looked at a number that says 0.30 and yet you said 30.
Yes.
I'm sorry. 0.3030?
No.
What is that number?
0.30 is 0.3.
0.3, thank you. That's been part of the issue we've had with much of this. We do know that again, court orders do change litigation, things are under appeal, et cetera. So the point we have here is, where in Kitsap County Code 1025 does it mandate that an applicant reflect within its application current injunctions or court orders?
I'm not aware of any.
And in fact, there isn't any.
I don't know, but I'm not aware of any.
Okay, if we could turn to page 2.
You're still on exhibit 10?
6, I believe.
6.
Okay. Which is titled differently in this version, as we pointed out. Okay, so you request some additional information there. Can you please, under A, can you read the second sentence, please?
Please provide additional information about the alternative uses requested for the rifle and pistol ranges.
Make sure we're on the same page here. Oh, okay. Under section A above. The second sentence, please.
The application requests approval for special events on these ranges, but includes no information about the special events, including a USPSA competition, a steel challenge, Glock match, and or training applications, nor are alternative firing lines or setups identified.
To the best of your knowledge, was any such request made for Pulse Bow?
I don't know.
Why would a request for this information help you in reviewing the application?
To determine whether or not the application is consistent with the requirements of those events.
Thank you.
Are you familiar with any of those shooting events?
No.
So you've never participated in any sort of shooting competition yourself personally?
That's not true.
I was asking. I'm sorry. That was a question. Have you participated in a shooting competition?
Yes, I have.
And when was that?
The last time was last fall sometime.
And what kind of competition?
It's a grand shoot, a CMP match.
Okay. Did you have anything to do with setting up the range or managing the facility that you shot that competition at?
Yes, I did.
And where was that?
It's in Arlington.
Can I ask what distance you were shooting?
They're 200-yard ranges.
All Okay, further down the page, under section 2A, between A and B, there's an underlined portion. Would you please read that?
Please provide a modified site plan delineating critical areas, including wetlands, period. Provide a description of how projectiles will be prevented from falling into the identified wetlands.
So we're going to show you an exhibit, a blow-up from our application diagram. So is it your testimony that we did not delineate any wetlands on this diagram?
Which application is this from?
This is from the very first one.
Yes. Okay.
And so the answer was?
Could you ask a question, please?
Sure. Is it your testimony that since you requested we identify wetlands, is it your testimony that we did not identify wetlands on this diagram?
I don't recall that I asked for you to do it on this one, did I?
We can go back and look at the first review.
Because this is not the site plan submitted for the second application.
I would proffer that those elements are the same, whether it's the first or second. As you had noted at some point in your documentation, that we simply whited out many of the things that were there. But in your first review and your second review, and in a declaration, you claimed that we did not identify critical areas.
Okay.
And this was the one first document you reviewed and said that their critical areas were not reviewed, were not included.
I don't recall if I said critical areas were not included.
Okay, while he's looking for that, let's push on. What's your understanding? I'm looking at page 3 of the review.
Which review?
The second.
Okay, so that's still Exhibit 6?
Number 6.
Okay.
So you go into some detail there about the alterations and let me get you to read a piece here. Try the sentence, I think it's the third sentence or second complete sentence, starting with the word publication.
Publication of this document does not derogate from reserved ownership rights in it.
So why was this included in this document?
Because I recognize the document as one that had been submitted first time with modification, and there's a specific disclaimer on the front of that document that says it may not be modified without the specific permission of its author. By removing or making changes and marking on it, it is modified without the permission.
I think you're mistaken. You may want to review that on exactly what it says.
You're right, I misspoke.
Okay. Would you like to make another statement that corrects
what?
What you just misspoke.
Would you like me to read the statement?
Sure.
Okay, this statement says that alterations of this document shall not invalidate the professional seal. I'm sorry. Alterations of this document shall invalidate the professional seal and signature. Publication of this document does not derogate from reserved ownership rights in it. The document is for the use only for the project identified in the title block and is not to be used for repair, remodel, or addition to that project or for any other project.
Okay, so is it a requirement for our submission that the diagrams have a valid wet ink seal on them?
If I may, hearing examiner, this has gone way beyond the scope of what this appeal is about, and the county objects to this because we are discussing the merits of the application and whether or not things were submitted fulfill the requirements of the code, not whether or not they should have gotten the extension. What we're discussing here now is something that most likely will be discussed later on and outside the scope of this hearing.
Some counterargument, if I could. Because the extension, absent this review, if this review was unneeded, if it was not asked for, the extension would be irrelevant and the county would proceed with other parts of the procedure. Because, are you hearing me? Because the extension is only needed because of this review, that's what makes it relevant.
And if I might reply, Madam Examiner, that's not the case. There are plenty of reasons why the application should not have been reviewed, and that is beyond this testimony today and this discussion. Had they provided these answers in a timely manner, we may not be here today. That's the question at hand, not whether or not they should be required to be answered.
Quite frankly, it's unfortunate, but Mr. Lynam has asked for this. He's the one who requested this information, said it had to be submitted in its entirety and not piecemeal. And so we are going through to determine whether or not, for your benefit, Madam Examiner, as to whether or not the county arbitrarily or maliciously or in whatever form wrongfully denied an extension of time to continue to gather the information that these questions are all about and have been the reason why a request for an extension of time was filed, because of the many, many man and woman hours that went into preparing that material, as well as Mr. Lynam's emphatic statement twice that everything had to be submitted in its entirety and not piecemeal. So unless the county is willing to concede that there are many items within this that actually have been spoke of in error and sent the club down wild goose chases to get this information, we'd like to continue with this line of questioning.
I am concerned about the broadening the scope of the appeal and the extent of the questions, because what is before me is a very narrow issue, and I think everyone agrees that is the case. And I do want to keep things efficient today, because I am not issuing a decision on whether an operating permit should or should not be required. That is not before me. It's a narrow question of whether the extension should have been granted. I'll allow some limiting questions along this line, along the line of as long as it pertains to whether or not you all did in fact submit what was required. But I do want to be cognizant of, want to keep it narrowly focused on the issue that I actually have authority to decide.
So I'm trying to understand the limitation you're placing. It would seem that the difficulty in answering the questions would be germane and whether they were reasonable, and how complex the answers were would be germane to an extension.
Well, the appellant either submitted the requested information, submitted everything that was required in order for DCD to review the application, or it didn't. And so I think that question, whether the appellant submitted everything that was necessary. That piece of it is germane. And so if you have questions along those lines, I think those are fair game. But I don't want to go beyond that scope.
If I may, Madam, the county determined fairly early on that this application was technically complete, that they submitted information mm-hmm. sufficient for us to proceed with our review. There's a time frame for that,
right.
and we determined that yes, you have the information, and it's not a qualitative type of an assessment. It is, did you give us something for which we can review?
For which that, Mr. Lynam said that we could not submit.
Let him finish, please.
That's not the case. It is. The county makes the decision whether or not this is a technically complete application, and we did so. That question is, do you give us something that we can look at and does not have a qualitative evaluation to it? The qualitative evaluation comes later on, which is in the summary report that we give them later. That's things that we can ask for correction. We can ask for additional information. This was one of those items. And it is one of those items for which the gun club was not responsive in a timely manner for its first application, nor was it in its second, other than to ask for an extension 6 days before it was to expire.
And when it comes, you know, what is the purpose of an extension of time? And if I could, I believe you just said that what you're trying to determine here is whether we submitted sufficient information, and that's not the determination. As I understand, our determination today is whether or not the county denied the extension of time, which was requested to get the information to them, whether the county was being reasonable and not acting out of caprice when it comes to dealing with Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club. And this very first extension of time to get answers that they are after. When looking again at the Paulsbo document, what we submitted to start with would have been enough to warrant an inspection and move on from there. So again, unless something has changed, and maybe I misunderstood you, Madam Hearing Examiner, but I believe you said a moment ago that this is to determine whether or not we turned in all the adequate information. And I thought this was all about whether or not the county denied, right or wrong, denied our extension, our request for an extension of time, our very first request.
Yeah, my understanding of the issue is, and you all correct me if I'm wrong here, is that did the planning department err in denying the request for extension? Did they have the authority to grant it? And certainly under the code, they have the authority, but they are not required to grant an extension. So if they had some reasonable basis for denying the extension, then that would be authorized under the code. And I think what you're trying to argue is there, and correct me if I'm wrong here, that there was no reasonable basis to deny the request. I mean, if that's, Mr. Lyman, kind of my take on the exact issue, if you, either of you have a kind of clarification on that.
That is the issue. Yes,
ma'am. Yeah, and our issue is, in the context of the materials and the testimony added here, even up to this point, the question is, was that decision arbitrary and capricious? We have additional testimony about how often we would like to present about how often they declined to give these extensions. And this review being the critical part, if this had been submitted on time, there had been no default on the extension of time, how reasonable this is, if in the context of what's here in the written material constitutes something that appears to be arbitrary and capricious, that would overcome their discretion.
Okay. I think we've had enough discussion on all this. I'm going to allow some limited questioning on those lines, but please, I want to be efficient. I want to get through this today.
We would like to as well. We'd like to have been through it some time ago. Mr. Lynam, I believe item 12 or exhibit number 12 that you list is a letter from KRRC. Was that the letter and part of the package of material that was delivered to the county to complete your request, at least from the perspective of KRC.
This document was delivered on January 31st of 2017, after the permit had expired and we had notified you that we weren't going to give you an extension.
That's correct. But what is that letter referring to?
The title of it says, Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club replied to provide additional information requested January 11th, 2017 by Kitsap County. Review summary and information request October 17th. Permit number 160442.
And so you had received that letter, and you received the materials that we've demonstrated here in bulk as well that were delivered on that date.
It was received by somebody on January 31st.
Okay, but DCD received that information, and you reviewed it. Is that correct?
No, I did not review it completely. I did no more than a cursory review of that information.
Did you not sign a declaration saying that you did review that document?
Yes, I did, and it was a cursory review. It was not an in-depth declaration, and it was not an in-depth summary.
Do you recall or do you have an opinion here today as to whether or not if that information had been supplied timely, would more information have been required from the county?
I don't know. I did not review that information substantively.
Okay, let's return to the second review document.
Okay. And what example is that?
Say again?
What exhibit?
It's number second review six. And I am looking at page, these are not numbered, one, should be page three, number three. Can you read that title for number three, please?
I'm sorry, which exhibit again?
Should be six, the mislabeled six in the summary. Okay, and we're on page three. It's number three, and there's a title there.
Projectile control is deficient.
Okay, turn to the next page, please. Can you read the first sentence under item A?
The site plan provided indicates a distance of approximately 1,280, open paren, 426.67 yards, closed paren, from pistol range firing line to the facility property line.
Okay, you go on to make several issues in here of distances. Why are those relevant to this application?
Well, it's for the purposes of determining whether or not you're in open range. Clearly, the KRRC doesn't have land sufficient to be in open range such that the projectiles could fall on the range property in and of themselves.
Can you define an open range, please?
Not at this time. I wasn't prepared to do that.
I don't. Again, caution on this. I want to be careful not to get into the substance of whether or not an operating permit should or should not be granted. We're on this very narrow issue of whether the extension was denied.
Are you aware if Paul's Bow was asked any of these questions?
I don't know.
Again, I'm not clear on why the Paul's Bow application would be relevant here, because we're looking at this particular application and these permitting criteria. So that's what I'm looking at.
It goes to if we're applying a completely different set of standards to two different ranges, then it would lead a reasonable person to the possible conclusion that we're currently being treated arbitrary and capriciously. Okay, let's go on to another page. I'm sorry, they are not numbered, so I've got to count again. Yeah, it should be on page 4, the underlying section immediately above section number 4.
And that's the same exhibit?
Yes. Just
exhibit 6.
Okay, could you read the underlying section, please?
Please modify the application to limit firearm use to those calibers which can be contained within the boundaries of this facility, or alternatively modify the application to include berm modification or enhancement and the installation of vertical and horizontal physical barriers, open quote, baffles, close quote, in addition to institutional controls to assure that no rounds fired on a range leave the property or impact other than baffles or impact berms.
Okay, so it would lead somebody to the conclusion that you're proposing that the current range, unmodified, as has been documented, cannot contain any legal caliber.
What I'm saying here is it does not provide the protection that is required by code. KRRC doesn't have complete sideburns or baffles overhead as required by code. You're required to have the sideburns, the backstops, the side stops, and overhead baffles in addition to other materials. And that's what this is pointing out here.
Okay, but it wasn't worded that way in this document, was it?
No, not on this section. Oh, pardon me. Modify the application to include berm modification or enhancement in the installation of vertical and horizontal physical barriers, baffles, in addition to institutional controls to assure that no rounds fired on a range leave the property or impact other than baffles or impact berms. I quoted the last part of that. It's right out of the code, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And so based on this, did you distinguish between a new range and a grandfathered range?
No, the code makes no differentiation. It says new or existing ranges.
Thank you.
And again, madam, we're way beyond where we should be with this questioning. This is not a review and an examination of the content of this and whether or not the KRRC should be issued a permit and approved. It is whether or not the county should have denied the extension.
Again, I caution you all to keep focused on that, the narrow issue that is before me. How much further are we on this questioning? Are we about done?
Well, we
with this witness.
We have again some more to go, as Mr. Denny pointed out that. Again, what would lead a reasonable person to believe that the county has been capricious in their denial of that permit and the potential for unequal treatment? There are some questions that need to be answered, and Mr. Lynam evidently has no idea how other permits have been handled in this county, at least as far as the shooting ranges are concerned. We're trying to determine if he himself knows enough about his questions that would know whether or not that he would have any frame of reference as to how long it would take us to determine or answer his questions. Some of them, as I would ask Mr. Lynam right now, is what does caliber have to do with projectile containment?
And that one is asked and answered.
Yeah, that was
really
that one. You all did address the question on
how was that? Earlier. How was caliber?
There was an earlier question on caliber that you all had. So anyway, back to my original question.
Right.
I needed a sense on time frame in terms of with this particular witness and then with the remainder of the witnesses today, what we're looking at. And I do want very narrow issue before me. This is not about whether they operate. And again, there's no prejudice here. You all can resubmit as well. It was denied. I think you all understand right?
As far as resubmitting.
Resubmitting an application, right? The extension was denied, but it was without prejudice, meaning you can resubmit an application.
Well, it says the extension was denied. It didn't say without prejudice. It said the extension was denied. The permit was denied. And in another court case, that is a major issue. This isn't about wanting to see about a time for reapplication.
My understanding is that the extension was denied, but it was without prejudice. And so the applicant, if they wish to do so, could reapply for that operating permit under this decision. Am I missing something?
That is our understanding, and both of our correspondents with the applicant told them that they could reapply, and in fact they did attempt to reapply. We didn't accept that application because of this ongoing decision.
And that, if you will, that's not true. We did not reapply. We requested to reactivate the older permit.
Okay.
Because we were not aware that an extension of time was even available at that time.
Does it change whether you all wish to pursue this appeal, the fact that you can, in fact, reapply and there's no prejudice there?
We have had a judge make a determination.
And this, any litigation that,
has, well, but it all harming. Has bearing on what we're here today for, because, again, and forgive me, so much of it has been convoluted over many years and twists. But Mr. Lynam's refusal to...
I want to treat the witnesses with respect. So
that's why I said Mr. Lynam. I mean, he's a cousin by marriage, and I could get more familiar, I guess, if I needed to. But that's not the issue. The issue here is, again, whether or not the county should have allowed that first 90-day extension of time. It was requested not for financial reasons, but simply to compile something that Mr. And this is getting into closing arguments, as it were. Our purpose in this line of questioning was to demonstrate that, the county's imprint, that we should have been able to have done this fully within 90 days.
But you all do understand that you can reapply, that the decision was without prejudice. It's not that you cannot reapply for the operating permit. You do understand that's... And we've heard confirmation from the planning department on that. I want to make that real clear, just in case that changes whether or not you need to pursue this appeal.
Whether or not we need to pursue this appeal.
I mean, you have the right to this appeal, and you certainly can pursue it. But my understanding is that the denial, and I want to make sure everybody's on the same page on this, it was without prejudice. So if the applicant wishes to resubmit their application, they have that right. They have that ability to do so.
Well, we don't have that in writing from the Department of Community Development. We just have a flat-out denial. There's nothing about without prejudice. There's nothing about where...
If in fact you were to accept that at face value, if that were true, would you need to continue this appeal? If in fact you could in fact resubmit,
I believe we would. Absolutely.
Okay.
Because again, we have, and I would venture to say that probably applies elsewhere down the line. But we have, the club has been treated, and we would like the hearing examiner to take judicial notice, if you will, that this has been an adversarial position.
I think I've answered my question in terms of the decision being issued without prejudice. Let's go ahead and wrap up questions with this witness, and please be efficient on this.
Understand.
Yeah.
Okay, this page where we left off. I'll ask a question here. Under the first application, was any on-site inspection done by DCD?
And I'm not sure on the first application. I'm not sure it's the second application that's before me, and the denial on the second one.
I'm trying to establish a pattern. Very, very briefly, was there an inspection, on-site inspection, done by DCD for the first application?
Not that I'm aware of.
Was there an on-site inspection done for the second application?
No.
So you've not viewed Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club's facilities since the time you mentioned back in the, I believe it was mid-90s or something?
No.
I would like to... I would like to
hand to you and ask that it would be admitted a document which is a declaration from Mr. Lynam. I believe it was dated February 2nd. And it was brought up in another avenue of litigation, but specifically about this permit. And as Mr. Lynam said, he had not reviewed that documentation, or a very cursory review is what he said here. Mr. Lynam, do you recognize the document in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Is that your sworn testimony?
Yes.
I would like to offer that as an exhibit. I don't know how you would like to go about numbering that. Pardon me? I'll have to make one. I may have somewhere. Forgive me.
There was an exhibit deadline that I had for the submittal of all exhibits, and you all did not submit any additional exhibits.
Well, that's because you denied us discovery and our interrogatories, and as I had said in our request for in our submittal when we were supposed, when he set our at witness list in, that we were reserving our right depending on the testimony that was brought, because again, we had not had any opportunity to look at any information from the county, and that we would be able to question them here.
I of course do not have authority over the discovery rules and to order that sort of thing.
But you did take authority to deny them.
May I offer something, Madam? Mm-hmm. Perhaps these are questions that could be answered completely through a continuation of this examination.
Okay.
A continuation of this hearing to another date. They did not supply things by the time for the exhibits, and the testimony that I've given here today is entirely consistent with what's in this declaration. We did not come today prepared to discuss and to revisit all of the prior declarations and all of the prior testimony in all of the other court cases that have continued for some time. And I can't continue in that method without having had time to prepare.
Yeah, I would agree. I am concerned about the late submittal of exhibits, and it's not fair to ambush the other side. That's why I established deadlines, is so that the exhibits are submitted in advance, so the parties have the ability to review those exhibits. Are there other exhibits that you all are planning on submitting?
Well, very potentially so. We have a number of others, because again, we didn't get staff report. We were denied discovery and interrogatories, and were told that this was going to be the place where we could ask the county personnel questions. And so that's why.
You were provided a copy of the staff report.
Pardon me?
You were provided the staff report.
Yes, but we were provided a copy of the staff report, but we were denied discovery and interrogatory, so that again...
Well, I just want to make that clear. You did get a copy of the staff report by the required time frames.
I'd have to look at the date, but I believe so.
All of the documents that you have been cross-examining on are attached to the staff report. So,
right. That's what we've tried to use to try to minimize the number of exhibits, et cetera. But again, as we get into this, again, the whole, as Mr. Denny pointed out, the whole crux of whether or not we were wrongly denied a 90-day extension of time has to do with the requests within this summary review. And again, it's going to demonstrate that it was entirely unreasonable to expect that we were going to have questions and to be able to answer, to give things that Mr. Lynam wanted. Where we were going right now was just simply the fact that Mr. Lynam has said in this declaration that several of his questions within this document, we didn't answer.
What?
The reality is everyone was answered, and it goes to the veracity of Mr. Lynam's credibility and being treated unequally and unfairly by the county.
I am inclined to consider the planning department's suggestion that we continue the hearing, and that before that next hearing, that the documents that the appellant intends to rely upon and to produce be exchanged and be provided to the planning department so that they can prepare and review those documents.
And I can appreciate that, Madam Examiner. Thank you.
in that being the case, again, because I was confused a little bit, happens, the idea that, again, you mentioned earlier that you had no authority on the discovery issue, and yet you took authority to quash discovery.
Well, if something's outside my jurisdiction, I have to issue a ruling that says it's outside my jurisdiction, and that was consistent with that. You'll have documents that you need. You certainly can ask the planning department for those documents.
And that's what the interrogatories were for. But again, it was requested that it be quashed, and that was the action that was taken by the hearing examiner.
Right. If you have documents that you need that you do not have from the planning department, you certainly can ask them. You have that ability to get those documents. Mr. Allison, do you have anything in terms of on objecting to a continuance or anything to add along those lines?
The materials that I received on January 31st did not include methods for improvement of projectile containment.
Why are we continuing something that is unanswered?
That's a good question. If you all needed to provide that information on containment, wasn't provided.
Oh, no, it was provided. In fact, I would ask Mr. Lynam, what evidence do you have that Kitsap Rifle and Revolver Club's facilities and how it's used with its administrative protocols is insufficient for projectile containment?
Thus brings us to the decision. We're not here to rehash the other court arguments that have taken place.
It was brought up by Mr. Allison, and the hearing examiner said that was a good question, and that's why we're following up.
So what we're going to do, we are going to continue the hearing. And we are going to establish some deadlines for anything else that you all want to provide so that the parties can address those documents. And again, I am concerned. This is such a narrow issue, and the hearing is proceeding as if I have authority to issue or not issue, determine whether an operating permit should
be decided. That's not our request. And if the hearing examiner wants to grant the extension of time, then we could just go back to processing all of this and see about answering the rest of whatever new questions Mr. Lynam comes up with. Shy of that, if
one additional matter, which those questions don't seem to infer, is we have a right to get a final answer of approval or denial. We have to be allowed to get to that point at some point in the procedure.
Okay. So, if we're going to continue the hearing, I'd ask that the parties confer with the hearing examiner clerk to find an alternate day, and we'll establish the deadline similar to another pre-hearing order. I will issue another pre-hearing order on this. And you know, usually hearings are the second, fourth Thursday, so it'll probably be along one of those lines. I think that's the best way to deal with all of this. Any questions on that?
No, ma'am.
Okay, I think that's nothing further from the planning department on this at this point.
Nothing further.
Okay, all right. I think that's what we're going to do, so we will adjourn. And I'll get a pre-hearing, like I said, I'll get a pre-hearing order out, and this will be continued to a date that can be sorted out.
The pre-hearing order will come after there's been some discussion with the, pardon me?
Yeah, there. Well, as long as if we can get a date sorted, I'll have the date in the order.
Right, of course. So we're going to confer with the hearing examiners. I'm sorry,
Ms. Santos. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Ms. Santos, and then the order.
Yes, and then she'll let me know what date we're scheduled for.
Thank you.
And then we'll continue this matter. So. All right. I think with that, we're adjourned for today.
Thank you.